Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Let's pray and let's get into what God has laid on my heart for us for today. Amen. Father, we thank you today for your word, and Father, we thank you that we just receive from you today, that we have ears to hear and a heart to receive from you. And Father, we thank you for your goodness and mercies, which are fresh and anew every morning. And Father, we have a love for you and a love for your word. Your word says that you say you love me, but you don't keep my commandments. Well, Father, we keep your word because we love you, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, I want to talk this morning about holding on to the truth. And, most of you know that Brother Jerry Savelle went to be with the Lord. And I don't know, you know, there's been other men and women that's went to be with the Lord. But this kind of just grieved me in a sense, you know. And I've been talking to the Lord about it. And we've got to hold on to the truths that the men and women that have passed away that gave us. We can't let go of those truths that God promoted them in the body of Christ to bring to us. I've been pastoring for 30 years in the same church, and I remember at one season in the church, everything I would preach on, it'd go back to watching what you say, watching your words. And I thought, I mean, I'd preach on finances, it'd go back to your words. I'd preach on healing, it'd go back to your words. I'd preach on salvation, it'd go back to your words. And finally, I thought, why can't I get off of this? So I went to the Lord, you know, and I wasn't doing it intentionally because I was preaching by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You got your notes, but... You know, used to, I'd have two little things wrote down in my notes. Now I try to write a little bit more, but I don't know if I'm going to use it or not. But I thought, why can't I get away from this? And the Lord said, because they're not getting it. And so I had to stay there till they got it. Well, I don't know if they ever got it, but finally he released me to move on. Amen. Some did, some didn't. But he wanted to impart that truth to the people in our congregation. And so God has promoted men and women in the body of Christ to get certain truths to us. Amen. I like what Pastor Mark said, Dr. Fred Price has went home to be with the Lord, but we have the material available to still to gather that truth and to have it just enrich our lives. Amen. And so I got to tell you a story about Brother Jerry. Your pastor Mark and Miss Phyllis and Greg and I, we went down in the early 1990s, I believe, and Brother Jerry was having meetings down there, him and Jesse DePlantis. And Jesse wasn't known too well then. He hadn't really been introduced to the body of Christ. And so it was about a 200 meeting. It was on Jerry Savelle Ministries campus there. And they had a meeting room of probably about 200 people, would you guess? 150. Okay. 150. And so we drove 16 and a half hours down there. And we were friends when we got there. Now, that was a major thing. Being in the car together, I mean, we talked about everything and listened to preaching and did, and we were still friends when we got there. And so we got, was it a hotel or what? It wasn't a hotel what we think of. It was a motel. And so the man that they went in to register, and the man was hard hearing. And so they wanted to know what time it was because we didn't know if Texas time was different than our time. And this was before all the cell phones and all of the stuff and that. And so they had me call. I got nominated to call and ask him what time it was. And I said, do you have the time? He says, do I have a dime? I'm going to get more than that out of you. But we went to the, and your pastor took us to the world's largest bookstore. The world's largest, that was what it was deemed. And we drove up to Waco, Texas. And we were, see, I'm telling all these stories, right? And there was somebody in front of us, and your pastor was driving, and he'd go over to the side of the road and drive. We thought he was drunk. We didn't. No, not the pastor, Mark. The guy in front in the car that kept going over to the side. We thought he was, because he was weaving, he'd go over and then he'd come back and then he'd go over. And we didn't know that when you moved over, they move over so you can go ahead. You know, we didn't know. We just thought maybe he was drunk or something. So we just didn't want to get in his way. We stayed back. But anyway, we got to the world's largest bookcase, walked in, and there was just a few Bibles. There was 17 Bibles in the world's largest, but it was a distribution center that the Bibles come in and went out and stuff. But we get to the meetings, and so we enjoyed the meetings. And so Pastor Mark and Miss Phyllis, they went someplace, and Greg and I were there in the lobby, minding our own business. And Jerry... Now, why'd you laugh back there? I seen you laughing. We were minding our own business. And Jerry Savelle's secretary come up, and which I didn't know who she was, started talking to us and introduced herself and said, would you like to see Brother Jerry's offices and stuff, which were in a totally different building? And, I'm real cool. You know, I was going, woo-wee! We're getting the inside tour, you know. But I was real cool. Well, yeah, that would be nice. And I said, but we got another couple with us. And so we also got to talk to Jesse DePlantis. And we talked to him because we were minding our own business in that lobby. We were not secretly ambushing everybody. You know, we were minding our own business. But Mary took us and gave us a tour through Brother Jerry's offices and stuff. And he had some, do you remember he had some words from the Lord in prints on his walls and different stuff. And so then the meeting, that was during the day meeting. So it was that night meeting. Was it the same night? You know, this is a long time ago, so I don't know if I'm remembering everything. But anyway, the night meeting, that Pastor Mark was sitting on the end, like he is now, then Miss Phyllis, then me, then Greg. So here comes Brother Jerry down the aisle greeting people. Well, I got two people in my way. So here he comes. So I held out my hand over those two. Believe it, that arm went out a long ways. About took him out to shake our hand. And then he knew we were from Indiana. His secretary had told us, and he was so good to us. He says, "Yous have come a long way." And I thought, boy, have we ever, 16 and a half hours in that car. And he said, "Well, I want to make it worth your while. Just go back after the service and pick up whatever you want." So we did. And so then when we got home the following week, I don't know if he did you guys, but his secretary sent us a bunch of cassettes and different, I don't know if it was CDs at that time, but we got a bungalow of stuff. Amen. Just no, tell that. Here, let me, we want this on.
He was showing us and talking to us about how do you like my offices out here in the country. And you go, you call this country? You should see where I'm from.
I remember that now. You ain't seen country till you've been where I've been. I remember that now. I forgot about that. Thank you for bringing that up. Oh, yeah, I remember that. But anyway, but the Lord has just really been stirring my heart that we need to hold on the truths that these men and women have brought us. Amen. And, you know, I don't know about you, but it seems like the body of Christ is in a mess today. Amen. I think, what are you thinking? You know, when we got born again, it was 1985, and we expected to be changed. We weren't raised in church. We didn't know nothing about church, but we knew we weren't going to be carrying our lifestyle in the same way. Amen. We weren't going to be drinking. We weren't going to be doing the things we were doing. We were going to be talking. We knew that we didn't carry that with us. We expected a change. And today, you can't hardly, I mean, it's ridiculous. But Apostle Paul warned us about that. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Are you with me this morning? Better look at the clock. You know, our church, I don't preach long because they've heard my stories. But this is new meat. No, yeah, hang on. I'll watch. 2 Timothy. Hallelujah. You know, when we do communion, I love Psalm 103 for communion. And so I don't even have to tell them anymore. They just know to turn there. You know, and I just, that is just one of my favorite things for communion, one of my favorite scriptures. And our daughter Jessica got after me and said, "Well, Mom, there's more scriptures doing communion." I said, "Okay." I said, "You and Cam, you take," that's her husband. And I said, "You take," and they're ordained. I said, "You take turns doing communion. One do one month and one do it the other month. You know so much about it." Well, the first month, Jessica got up and she forgot which went first, the bread or the juice. Then Cam got up the next month and he thought he's got it all down pat. And what did he do? He did something ridiculous that was, I think he forgot to even, I don't know, but it was something just ridiculous. And I thought, well, okay, now you let me go and I'll stay on Psalm 103. Amen. I know how to do this. Amen. Hallelujah. Why change something if it works? 2 Timothy chapter 3, are you there? And verse 1, Apostle Paul writes, he says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." And he describes what he means by perilous times and what's going to be happening. Well, if we're ever in that now, evident we are. Amen. But and he tells him to turn away from such people. Amen. Don't follow such people. And he goes down to verse 10. He says, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance." Amen. And so he says, "You followed my teaching." One, some translation says, "My manner of life, my conduct, my purpose in life." Amen. And he goes on to verse 14. He says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of." Why do we continue in the things that we've learned? Because we don't want to keep starting over. If we don't continue in the things that's been deposited in us by the men and women of God and by our pastors, then we're going to have to start all over. And when you start over and over and over, you never get anywhere. You're either moving forward or you're moving backward. You're never at a standstill. You're never at a standstill. Amen. So he says here, he says, "You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." Amen. Amen. You know, over the years, people have asked me, "Well, what about this preacher?" And they're new and they get on the scene and they look real popular and they're getting all kinds of people. I said, "Just wait a little bit. They'll dry up." And they do. Amen. Hallelujah. And I said, it won't take long. Listen to what they're preaching. Listen to what they're saying. And you'll find out it's not quite right. And they won't stay long because they just won't. Because it's not truth that they're preaching. Amen. Y'all heard the grace message. Do anything you want. The sloppy grace. And where are those preachers today? I don't listen. I never listen to any of them. And even some men and women that we've listened to have erred and got off on the fundamentals of doctrine. Amen. And we have to turn them off. Don't listen to that because it will get into you. And wherever you're following, that's where you're going to be going. And I don't want to go in the ditch. Amen. I don't want to go in the ditch. So he says, be assured of knowing from whom you have learned them. One translation in the Amplified says, hold tightly to the truths. That's the title of my message this morning. Hold tightly to those truths. Like Charles Capps, he gave us, watch our words. Our words matter. Brother Hagin, faith. Amen. In 2003, when he went home to be with the Lord, before that, he said he began to see faith wane in the body of Christ. I thought if he would be able to see today, he would be shocked. Amen? And not us, but we have to watch that we don't let that influence in our lives. Amen? You know, you can be tempted. You can be tempted to you know, get psychedelic lights. I was in the 70s when I seen psychedelic lights. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, we had one guy that he was a little slow, and he left our church and went to another, and he says, they got popcorn. We can have popcorn and take our drinks in the sanctuary. I said, you're at a movie theater. You're not at a church. They're kidding you. They're fooling you. You're at a movie theater. Amen. We've got so casual about things. And how did that get in? Because somebody wanted people in the seats more than they cared about truth in their life. Amen. And so he says, hold on to the truth. Amen. The Message translations says, don't let it phase you. We shouldn't let it phase us what things is going on. Amen. Don't let it phase you. Stick with what you learned and believed, sure of the integrity of your teachers. Amen. You know, some of the people that just popped up and were drawing big crowds, and I told them, just watch, just wait, let's see where they go. And I didn't listen to them. But then later they were in a sexual scandal. And they plummeted down. See, you can promote yourself up. You can do a lot of things to promote yourself. And if we go on here, it says in chapter 4 that men will leave the truth and they'll have itching ears to hear what they want to hear. But we want truth. Truth is going to change our lives. Amen. Itching ears will not change our lives. But truth will change our life. Amen. You know, we heard the truth when we got born again. How God could change our lives. Well, we wanted change, but we didn't know how to get change. Amen. Then we seen that some people had joy. Boy, these people, these Christians look like they're happy they're saved. And these here didn't look too happy about it. Well, what have you got? Then we found out it was a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, we didn't know what the baptism of the Holy Spirit was, but whatever it was, we wanted it. As long as it was of God, we wanted it. Amen. Then we got baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. My youngest daughter says, I think I married my mother, because I would go around the house, and this was just my lifestyle of praying in tongues. It just come out. You know, I was doing dishes or cleaning or those nasty things, you know, that we hate to do. And so I just pray in the Spirit and make it easier for me. Eh? I mean, I know some women really enjoy cleaning, but I'm not one of them. But I don't like a dirty house. Amen. And my oldest daughter says, well, why don't you just, you know, hire you a cleaner? Because I'd be cleaning it before she come. Because I wouldn't want her to see what a dirty house, you know. So why pay her to clean something I've already cleaned? And, anybody else like that? I would be, yeah. Yeah, I'd be cleaning. And, where was I at? Oh, praying in tongues, my youngest daughter. And so I'd just pray in tongues while whatever I was doing. And so then when she got married, her husband did the same thing. She says, I think I married my mother. You know? Well, we're ready to go. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's look over at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Are you getting anything this morning? Hallelujah. You know, today, if you turn on people that haven't been around for a while and that are tried and true, they wanna minister to your feelings. If you feel sad, if you feel this, my thing is just get over it. I'm 69. You learn to get over a lot of things. If not, you're going to be held back. Amen? Yeah. You're going to be a basket case ready to happen someplace. Amen? Just get over it. God will help you. Amen? You don't have to dwell on it. And I remember years ago when we first saved, this went around the body of Christ, that they would take you back to your mother's womb. And whatever feelings you had, whatever insecurities you had today, come because you were in your mother's womb. And they'd take you back. I don't remember being there. No. Right? Crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. And it didn't change a thing. No. Then later on, if you've got some issues in your life, then you got a devil. It surely couldn't just be your flesh. You got a devil. So now we got to cast the devil out of you. And I believe on casting out devils, but most of the time it's just our flesh. And so they would cast out devils, and every week they'd have the same person and casting out devils, the same people, and there was never no change, because the problem wasn't a devil. The problem was a flesh. Amen? And I believe casting out devils if there's a devil. I've seen some devils, but I've seen mostly flesh. Amen? I had one lady that asked me, she says, can you cast out the spirit of gluttony? And she was just a little overweight, not much. And I thought, you've got to be kidding. I said, if I could do that, I'd cast it out of myself. It's a flesh problem. It's an eating problem. It is not a devil. Amen? Boy, wouldn't that be simple. Anybody that wanted to lose weight, cast that devil out. I think I ate that devil. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Behind the frosting. Amen. See, we got to stick to truth. There is a casting out of devils, but when there's a demonic activity. Amen. Are you at Deuteronomy chapter 6? Okay. I am too, so we're good. Verse 1, are you there? It says, now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you're crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson. Now look, he's wanting the truth. He's wanting the word of God to go down not only to him, but he's to his son and his grandson. We have to carry these truths from generation to generation. Amen. And we need to pray that our children and our grandchildren are good pupils, receiving instruction, receiving the word of God. Used to, I would think, man, what's that pastor preaching? Those people are acting squirrely. Then I found out it wasn't just the pastor always. It was the people weren't listening to the pastor. Because I had a few squirrelies come out. And I knew what I was preaching. You know what I'm saying? So I began to learn that it just wasn't what was preached. It was if you were a good student of the word. I used to think, why can't I get some good disciples here? And then it dawned on me, well, I discipled my two daughters, and they're in the ministry. They hold productive jobs, good jobs, three-figure jobs. You know. And I thought, I discipled them and they did all right. And I found out they're good students. Amen. You got to be a good student. Amen. And so he says, for you, your son, and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Verse 3, therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with your soul, and with your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. He's saying you've got to teach these truths diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. He says you've got to talk of these truths all the time. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as a frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. So you can see them coming in, going out. Amen. Hallelujah. That's so important that we hold the truths and we pass on the truths to the next generation. We had our flock grandkids Thursday night. And mom was up at north of Indianapolis for a job, and dad went to his father's retirement party. So they had baseball games. So Greg and I had the flocks. We fed them. We took them to Greg took them to the baseball games and stuff. And so they come back in, and Jude's our little evangelist, and. Jude wants to make sure everybody's saved. And matter of fact, before my mom went to be with the Lord, he told me, he says, you ask her if she's born again. And I said, well, Jude, I believe she is. He says, you just ask her and make sure. I said, okay, Jude, I will. So I did, and she said, yes, she was born again, and this and that. So I reported to Jude, and he said, good. Well... you can go now. And so Thursday night, Jude, after they got back in, and Jude was talking, and he says, Mammal, I got somebody saved today at school. I said, well, Jude, what happened? Well, this boy in my class, a friend of mine, is going to get baptized. And another friend was telling him that then he'll go to heaven because he's getting baptized. And I told him, no, he won't go to heaven unless you've said the sinner's prayer. Truth. Truth. And so the little boy asked Jude, he said, now Jude's 8 years old and in the second grade. So he asked Jude, he says, Jude, what's the sinner's prayer? And Jude told him. He says, well, how do I get saved? And Jude said, will you repeat after me the sinner's prayer? He says, okay. So he repeated after him, amen, and got born again. He says, now when you get baptized, you'll go to heaven. Amen. But you have to be born again first. Amen. See truth. Amen. Truth. Hallelujah. And so we rejoiced with Jude. That was great, Jude. And that was the first child he's got born again in his class. And so praise God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at Judges chapter 2 real quick. And then we're going to finish up here. We've got to hold these truths and not let them go. Judges chapter 2. While you're turning there, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5, don't turn there. But Paul tells Timothy the faith that was in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice is the same faith that's in you. See, they held on to the truth and passed it from one generation to another generation. We were the first generation in our family to get born again. As a result of Greg and I getting born again, a lot of his family and some of my family come to the Lord. Amen. It changed our lives. It changed our family's life. Amen. Our daughters now, you know, have been serving the Lord and their children are serving the Lord. Amen. Amen. Truth changes things. Amen. And that's why we have to hold on to the truth. Amen. Are you at Judges chapter 2? And let's look at verse 7. It says, so the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Amen. So they served the Lord during Joshua's time. Now Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old, and they buried him. And verse 10, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. They failed to pass on the truths to the next generation. And Judges is a book of failure. If you go on to read, you'll see how God, they would get into sin. God would bring judges to get them out. And then they'd get back into sin. They'd get back into forsaking God. And then God would bring a judge and they'd turn to God. It went back and forth the whole time. But it was a generation that did not hold on to the truth, that did not declare what God had did in their lives. And it was a generation that did not know the works of God or know the truth about God or did not know God himself. Amen. Psalm 89 verse 1 says, with my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. Amen. I will make known to all, you know, the girls say, don't tell we lived in a trailer. I said, I'm going to tell we lived in a trailer. Amen. That's where we come from. That's where God took us out of. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell him how my dad was healed of emphysema. The doctors gave him 6 months to live. He was not saved. He got born again, got saved. He was one of those old timers that was very proud, very proud. And he worked in the mine at U.S. Gypsum, and he was on a big piece of machinery, and the machinery began to turn over, and Jesus appeared and righted the machinery back up because he knew this was it, that he was gone. And he got saved after that. See, some need a little bit more persuasion than others. Like the road to Damascus, you know. And so I tell how God worked in his life. And my dad thought he was going to retire and do nothing. But I said, Pop, I don't know about that. But he was our maintenance in the church. He fixed everything. If something needed to be done in a day or two, he was calling me, let's go. Let's go get it done. And of course, one time we were working on electric and there was water there. And I said, Pop, you've lived your life. You go ahead and plug it in. I'm just going to stand back here and watch, you know, because I didn't want to get electrocuted. You know, you're older, you've lived your life. But he still loved me. He just laughed, shook his head, plugged it in. And, you know, my faith wasn't there. You go ahead, Pop. Amen. So I tell how God healed me of rheumatoid arthritis. You know, I tell how God changed our lives, how God delivered Greg from alcohol. I tell those things because I want them to know what, you know, what they got today as a result of what God did in our lives. Amen. And how it changed their mom and dad's life and how it changed our lives and stuff. Amen. So we've got to hold on to these truths. Amen. That God felt it so important to put men and women in the body of Christ to get them to us, to teach them to us. Amen. God's put them in there. And God's put the message that he's wanted them to emphasize in there. How disrespectful to God and to the men and women of God that's went before us if we don't hold on to these things. If we let them slip, let them go. Amen? Well, I don't know about you, but if I have to stir myself up about some of them, I'm going to stir myself up about some of them. If I have to go back and listen to them and re-listen to them so I don't let them slip, then that's what I'm going to do. Amen? Hallelujah. So that I don't let these truths get away in my life. I think the simple truth is you must be born again. And today that's got away. I actually had a minister tell me that it offended people using the word saved. Offended them. I said, well, I'd rather offend them than let them go to hell. Amen. Amen. Why? You know, it'd only be offensive if you're not saved. Hallelujah. And today people seem to think as long as I go to church, I'm all right with God. Well, I hope you are. And only you know. But you know if you're born again or not. I know. We got born again. Amen. I knew we were different on the inside. Now, I would even look in the mirror to see if the outside was different. And I thought, no, that's still the same face. But I felt so good inside. You know, I thought surely the outside had to change. And, of course, at work, I'd tell everybody how we got born again, how God delivered my husband from work, and I worked in a furniture factory. They thought I was nuts and had joined some kind of cult. Well, that's the best cult I've ever joined. It's lasted 30-some years. How many? 39. Amen. So, you know, we just got to shake ourselves or whatever we need to do to make sure we don't let these things slip in our life.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.